Translation. A person with average intelligence does not think the head and the other parts of the body to be separate. Similarly, my devotee does not differentiate Vishnu, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, from anything or any living entity. Whenever there is disease in any part of the whole body takes care of the ailing part. Similarly, a devotee's oneness is manifested in his compassion for all conditioned souls. Bhagavad Gita 5.18 says, Pandita Samadarshina. Those who are learned see everyone's conditional life equally. Devotees are compassionate to every conditioned soul, and therefore they are known as aparakya-bhuti. Because devotees are learned and know that every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, they preach Krishna consciousness to everyone so that everyone may be happy. If a particular part of the body is diseased, the whole attention of the body goes to that part. Similarly, devotees care for any person who is forgetful of Krishna, and therefore in material consciousness. The equal vision of the devotee is that he works to get all living entities back home, back to God. Om Ikhana Timirandasya Ikhana Timirandasya Chakshuru Militam Dina Pasmai Shemirandasya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada talks about a person with average intelligence. Srila Prabhupada talks about it because it's not that sort of qualified intelligence isn't referred to in the shloka. Still, Prabhupada chooses to put it in saying that it doesn't require much. Doesn't require much intelligence. So very often, Srila Prabhupada would use these phrases that any child can understand the difference between the body and the soul. And soul is there. That doesn't mean everyone can understand, but if someone is sort of uncontaminated by other conditioning, anyone can understand. Reminds me a long time ago when I went to do a program somewhere in Chicago. And, I made a statement that any child can understand that in this body there's the soul, and the teacher says, "But I can't understand." So you can say, "I'm not as smart as a child," and that was truthful enough to say yes, and he kicked me out. First time I got kicked out. Only time I got kicked out of a school program. The students loved it. I think they all agreed. there are some verses in Srimad Bhagavatam that really lend themselves to a Maivad interpretation when taken out of context. And although Maivadis generally stay away from Srimad Bhagavatam, they if they can, tend to lend themselves to this, to such verses, or emphasize those verses. I don't know whether this is technically one of those verses, but it sure could be taken out of context, especially the second part where it says, my devotee does not differentiate Vishnu, the alterated personality of Godhead, from anything or any living entity. I mean, this is like my bad heaven to hear things like that. But the first part of the verse already qualifies that. A person with aberrant intentions does not think the head and the other parts of the body to be separate. Similarly, in other words, this is an analogy, and this is just the second part of the analogy. The first part puts into context how this non-differentiation takes place, and a non-differentiation takes place as considering both the Lord and the living entity as being a part of the entire whole, the absolute truth, in which is sort of exemplified by the part of a body. And the idea here is not that they're non-different in terms of being oneness or identity, but says they're not think the head to be separate. Here the context is in terms of being separate. They're one in the fact that they're all connected. They're not one in the fact that there's no difference between them. And therefore, in that way, these things can be understood nicely or properly. And then Srila Prabhupada really takes this opportunity to preach, as he often does. This morning while doing puja, I was listening to a conversation Prabhupada was having in 1977 in Bombay. And it was with some Indian gentleman who had access to Moscow, who would travel to Moscow, some businessman, and Prabhupada was encouraging him that he should preach. Told him he should take some books, and he should try to introduce them to the people that he met. Talked about his visit to Moscow, and it was very similar to the way Srila Prabhupada was dealt with by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he never met this person before. The person says, I'd just like to introduce myself. As Mr. Sharma introduced him. Mr. Sharma is the person who Prabhupada's always arguing with. Actually, it's the other way around. He's always arguing with Prabhupada on the morning walks in Bombay. So he said, Mr. Sharma said, I should come and see you. And he introduced himself, and so it was a stranger. Prabhupada said, okay, well, why don't you preach? And that was Srila Prabhupada's message. That was Srila Prabhupada's message from beginning to end of his life, and especially his involvement in the Krishna consciousness movement. And now Srila Prabhupada takes this particular verse, which we all know, Pandita Samadarshana, this Samadarshi, or the equal vision of, generally, of Gyanis. And, of course, very often, that the spirit soul is present, the soul is present in the heart of every living entity. And, of course, devotees also have that vision. We relate to all living entities as being spiritual, and don't see the differentiation between the body. But here, Srila Prabhupada is taking it a little further than that. He doesn't just leave it at that point. He's pointing out that Samadarshi means that, well, everyone's spirit soul, but the responsibility of a devotee is that he actually tries to deliver all conditioned souls. And this is what he says, the equal vision of the devotee is that he works to get all living entities back home, back to Godhead. This is what makes the difference between Gyan and Vigyan, or a Vaishnava and a learned soul, a pundit, a scholar, a Gyani. He does something about the fact that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And that is that he tries to introduce conditioned souls to the process of going back home, back to Godhead. And in this sense, the example then takes on a different meaning. There's no one, even though the head, here the example is that the Supreme Lord is the head, and even though the head is the most important part of the body, but no one thinks that other parts are unimportant or disposable. Not only are parts of the body, but even such very small things like cell. You know, cancer is the modern day scourge. I mean, it's, practically speaking, most of the diseases, whatever name they're called by, are types of cancers. And the very, we had this one lady in Hungary, elderly, not elderly, she's actually just 60, a couple of years older than me, and she's leaving her body at our New Budgetown farm, very nice, very Krishna conscious. But and she also has cancer of the stomach. And cancer is the type of, you know, it's a disease where actually the body or the cells turn on themselves, they become malignant, and they actually start to devour each other for some particular reason or cause. And since I've been sort of absorbed in that whole event, which really happened very quickly, this lady had digestion problems, she went to the doctor, and next thing she knew, she was dying. And the doctor says, I can't do anything. And that happens. It happens very, very frequently. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen to people who are in their 60s. Nowadays, more and more it's happening to those who are in their 30s and 40s and possibly even younger. Anyway, this statement that you must have heard and has been repeated, although I don't know what its original source is, that in previous ages, demons used to live on different planets, then they lived on, next stage they lived on different continents, and that now demons actually live within our own bodies. Well, if there's anything that resembles a demon living in your body, and that's what demons do, rakshasas, they devour living entities. Bhagavatam states that the kings are also like that. They devour the citizens, but this disease, literally speaking, eats up the whole body. It eats up the body. So you can't even neglect one cell. Of course, they have, you know, myo chemotherapy and these type of treatments. But if you have one malignant cell, that whole malignant cell can destroy the body. So not only is it that one cannot distinguish between different limbs of the body, in terms of their importance, one can't neglect one. Well, this is just my hand is sore, therefore it's not important because my head is important. Similarly, not even one cell can be ignored because that one cell can ultimately cause the destruction and consume the entire body. So devotees consider, they see actually all living entities like that, that taken into the perspective of the entire whole, that Krishna is anvaranayan, mahatomahayan, atmasajapo, is Krishna is the unlimitedly great, nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitanam. So the absolute truth is comprised of this, it's comprised of one unlimitedly large, large in a sense in terms of powerful, without constraint, living entity, and unlimitedly number of infinitesimally small and insignificant living entities. And the two altogether make up the complete whole. That's what whole means. If you say the absolute truth is just great, then that's just one thing, because aside from large things, there's also small things. So in perspective of the whole, if the whole is seen just like that, as a body, then no one will care to just consider the Supreme Lord is important and all other living entities are unimportant. Devotees see that other living entities are important, and they see that actually the head, Krishna, is satisfied when all living entities are on the progressive path on back to Godhead. Yaidam Paramam Guyam Mad Bhakteshu Abhidasyati. Krishna points out that this is actually the dearest devotee, the most confidential servant. someone who's making a concerted effort to somehow or another bring all the parts, all the cells, all the limbs of the body in healthy harmony with the rest of the body, and especially with the head. And this then becomes, Prabhupada says, samadarshi. This is actually equal vision. This person can go to hell and I'm going back to Godhead. That's not what Prabhupada refers to. He says everyone's work, they're working to get all living entities back home, back to Godhead. Because that is the inherent or the very confidential desire of Krishna. Krishna achieves or receives great pleasure from loving exchange with devotees, and he has both an unlimited desire as well as an unlimited ability for such loving exchanges. We're limited. I mean, loving exchange is almost a foreign thing in Kali Yuga, and even devotees have difficulty in learning how to establish and cultivate those type of loving exchanges. Priti Purvakam, Rupa Goswami says we should work on those. But even if we do, then we're limited. We have a limited ability as to how many individuals we can extend ourselves to, how many people can we love according to the way that they want to be loved. But Krishna is Nitya, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitanam, he's unlimited. Well, unlimited means that he has unlimited ability to reciprocate with unlimited number of living entities in better ways than even they can imagine. And not only he has the ability, but he also has the appetite, or he has the desire. Devotees, therefore, help Krishna, or they're engaged in something which brings other living entities, conditioned souls, in contact with the Lord. This is the real function or the goal of the preacher. And as far as preaching is concerned, the basis of any relationship is knowledge. Even in our modern society, where people are really bewildered as to what the goal of life is. I mean, they're not even bewildered. Bewildered means that you've lost sight of something. They haven't even lost. They don't think they've lost sight of something. They don't care. They don't know. They're living in complete ignorance. But still, there's so much emphasis placed on knowledge in this day and age. We've got so many educational institutions and colleges and universities, and everyone should get a diploma because they have some idea that there's a relationship between acquiring a lot of knowledge and being happy. You'll be able to be well situated, you can get a good profession, that means you can make lots of money, that means you can fulfill your desires. So knowledge and education and happiness are really linked. And they're also linked in spiritual life. Krishna says, Bhava Gyana Tapasa Uttanamad Bhavanagata. He says, by knowledge of me, people have attained love for me. People have become happy. So, with that same idea in mind, that in order to develop a relationship, in order to know someone, if you know someone, then you can actually love a person. There has to be knowledge. Srila Prabhupada therefore followed his Guru Maharaj's instruction to preach in Western countries, preach in English-speaking countries, to write books, publish books, to distribute books in large quantities, because that gives people the knowledge that they are part and parcel of a whole, that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that they're in a very diseased, cancerous condition. And that knowledge is contained, just like even, although very interesting, that we're in this phenomenally information-crazed society where information is It's amazing what's available on the internet. Some good, some bad, but anything, whatever you type in, I don't know, amoeba or anything, there's so much knowledge and information acquired there. And despite the fact that they've got CDs and videos and computers and this and that, book sales have continued to increase. It hasn't affected the sale of books. There's nothing like the feel of a book. I go nuts trying to read or study on the computer. It's not the same. It's just, you know, there's a screen and it doesn't work the same way. It doesn't have the same same ambience. It doesn't have the same feel. But whatever, people still continue to buy books, read books, and for that reason, Srila Prabhupada also emphasized that we give people knowledge. And of course, we also have our CDs, our DVDs, Bhagavad Gita Interactive. People really love them, they really like them. We have one devotee in Hungary distributes at the airport. It's always my desire in England that we could do Heathrow. I sure sent Guru Charnapadma out there for a while, maybe the parking lot. The inside it was to try to fish from bar. Parking, you did? Inside. But did you last so long?
We didn't do anymore because the terrorist crisis.
Yeah, well, terrorist crisis is not a way of life. Yeah. Anyway. Although, Heathrow is a book distributor's heaven. But they have to do some kind of poignant to get in there. Anyway, she distributes there. And, of course, people, when they're traveling, the last thing, at least they think they want, is one of these to be stuck in their hand. Or even more than one, and just carry this, something else to carry, when you know you can't even have a little tube of toothpaste with you anymore. So you can't have any hand luggage, but if you give them that interactive Bhagavad Gita, they really like that. It's very nice. And that's par for the course in terms of dynamic or innovative preaching. But anyway, back to the point, knowledge. People need knowledge, and they're not getting knowledge. They don't get knowledge of God. They don't get knowledge of the soul. They don't get it anywhere. They don't get it in education institutions. They don't get it in... I remember, I mentioned this just the other day when I was in Wales, when the Pope died. That was year before last. And I was sitting in Govardhan listening on BBC, and boy, there was a lot going on. His last breaths were being like monitored breath by breath. And then when he died, there were so many programs done on it, and all of his achievements, and he helped drive the communists out of Poland, and he was such a humanitarian. He felt for the suffering of living, and they were going on and on and on. And not once did anyone ever mention the Pope established in the minds of the people of the world the difference between the body and the soul. Not once did anyone ever say that he spoke about the soul, the science of the soul, that he educated people about spiritual knowledge. And if there was any mention of the soul, it was not in any real context of knowledge. It was just that he was kind to all souls. It's not even the world's, and he was a good guy. He was conservative, he was down the line, abortion and other things, but still, when it came to just understanding the first thing, so you open the thing, this is what Krishna starts with. This is like, you know, he's not with his first breath, Krishna says, hey, no sunjata dehe, and then, you know, he goes on, and then Srila Prabhupada goes on for 700 verses, and then Prabhupada says, and this is the ABC. After, you know, from Daniel Smith to Sarvadharma Paritya, and this is the ABC, and if you know this, then you can start to practice spiritual life. Until you know this, you can't even practice it. It's like know, you can't talk about mathematics unless you know how to add. If you don't know that one and one is two, in fact, if you don't know that one exists, then there's no question of becoming a mathematician. So such basic information, simple information, is so much lacking. And they admit this fall we had this in the university, in the biggest university in Hungary, in Budapest. Well, this is really weird. I used to go everywhere teaching about the things I did in England. Now I'm here in England. After not being here for a year, telling me I'm going somewhere else. At least I can speak English. That's like quite a thrill. I don't get to speak English anymore. Yeah, we had this interfaith conference, a really well attended interfaith conference, and it went on for all day. It wasn't just interfaith; it had to do with, you know, what happens at death, and so different people, different scientists, and so on. The idea was to be able to explain that the soul is leaving the body at death. Anyway, the last part of it was that there was a chief rabbi there, and then there was the head of the Muslim organization, and there was also a Christian theologian. And at the summing up, this Christian theologian, his summing up was that, because, you know, I made the point that yes, there's a soul. The soul leaves the body. The body dies. That you experience the things that Srila Prabhupada made a standard. He said anything that a child can understand. And so this theologian, his conclusion, he said, as far as we're concerned, when you die, there's nothing. There's no soul. There's nothing. It's just, you cease to exist. The only thing of you that remains is the memory of you in God's mind. And at the time of resurrection, you will be resurrected from the mind of God, and you will once again walk the earth. Amen. And I mean, even the Muslim guy looked at me. But then this is, and they're teaching this in a Christian seminary. And this is what the idea. So even what to speak of love of God, what to speak of who God is, but just knowing who we are, such basic knowledge is lacking. And for this reason, because Srila Prabhupada would emphasize this over and over and over and over, right? This is Prabhupada's maha mantra. You are not this body, because until you get this, forget about everything else. I'm not getting anywhere else. Until you get past this basic thing. And if we understand that we're souls, then at least, you know, we're going back home, back to Godhead. At least there can be a need to go back home. Until you're a spirit soul, you're not, what's the need to go anywhere? Especially if you're nothing, if you don't exist, where do you gotta go? You're already there, or maybe you're nowhere. But you're certainly not going back home, back to Godhead. But Vaishnavas see like that. They give this knowledge, and we give this knowledge in the form of these books, which people value. And it's amazing how much they value. There are some people who may challenge, or they may not like the fact that we approach them to sell them books. Some people may argue about the books when they haven't read them, or some people who are really, really highly motivated. There's another gentleman who's a very, very famous personality in television. He's a psychiatrist, actually, and he's very open. And when it first came to Krishna consciousness, that we met and gave him the books and read the books, so hung up on Prabhupada criticizing scholars. Scholars are rascals. the demons, that they're trying to misuse Krishna's words, and because of that, he just couldn't get into other things. But people who have a little piety, svalpam punya, they read Srila Prabhupada's books, and they really, really appreciate. And I think devotees must have experience. I mean, let's hear what the devotees say about their experiences when people receive the books. It was quite interesting. I remember that just as during this marathon, I was sending SMSs to devotees, and the devotees were sending me their stories. There was this one devotee, new bhakta. He met some lady, and we were, amongst other books, selling Prabhupada Lilamrita. And the lady took this Prabhupada Lilamrita, and devotee, I don't know, a couple of days later, got a telephone call. He said, I'm sending a little present gift in the post. So a day or two later, it became 100 pounds worth, which is equivalent to, it's about 250 pounds, but there it's equivalent to about 1,000 pounds. So this lady, she put this note. She said, at least her terminology was that I lost faith that saints exist. But when I read this book, then I realized that actually saints exist in our modern age. That was from reading. And then she sent this, 1,000 pounds, it's a lot of money. And she just sent that, just like that, as a donation. So people appreciate and they really identify. There's, you know, many stories, devotees, they show a book and they say, that's him! That's him. They're not pointing to Krishna, they're pointing to Prabhupada. So that's him, I read his book. And they say so many wonderful things. This is the man. This is the man. He knows what he's talking about. And people take it seriously. And they apply. They don't all immediately become pure devotees. They don't all start chanting 16 rounds. But gradually, anyone who's sincere comes in contact with these books. And Srila Prabhupada would say that, you know, so just one word. I don't know where this came from. When I read the 12th canto, I saw that this is actually how Sutta Goswami is concluding the 12th canto. He says, if someone reads one chapter, one verse, even one word of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, then their heart will become purified, their lives will be changed, and they will ultimately achieve perfection. And Prabhupada was saying, even if they just read one word, it's actually like, I mean, surprise, surprise, that Prabhupada is quoting Shastra. He's saying what Bhagavatam is concluding with. And so if all of them, Srimad, you know, they really struggle with it, Srimad Bhagavatam. But they're chanting the Lord's name. And it's beginning. And by this knowledge, then certainly they begin their path back home, back to Godhead. So knowing this, devotees therefore preach, and this is their samadharshi. And it's an extraordinary phenomena, the type of potency that comes along with preaching, distributing books, but so many other types of preaching. I think devotees have that experience. Since we're on book distribution marathon, we talked about book distribution. Book distribution is not easy. Is it easy? Easy. After how many years? 23 years. And sometimes the young devotees come and say, I find it so difficult. I says, well, what's, you know, you're expecting it to get easy. It doesn't get easy. It's austere. It's an austerity. It's tapasya. It's as difficult, you know, sitting in freezing cold water is difficult on the first day. The water doesn't warm up. You know, so if you're sitting in there, it keeps getting just cold and cold. And it's tapasya. It's austerity. It's very, very difficult. But still, even though it's difficult, and devotees go through very similar, there's a few devotees I knew who really, one devotee is my friend Vaisheshika. He's like, I don't know, he's still like the demigod. He's sent to distribute books. He used to distribute in Chicago here, and he was like, yeah, just come up to people saying, "Why did Mangalai think what's wrong with you?" Take this book. And he just, for him, was like breathing good. It wasn't upstairs. But for most devotees, it's very, very difficult. But as soon as you approach that person, the first person, as soon as you step out of that, something happens. All of a sudden, this type of shakti, this type of potency comes, and it's, Shukadeva Goswami begins by Atra, Sarga, Visharga, Sthanam, Pochanam. He talks about the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of them is Krishna's protecting his devotee. And it's not a good thing for young devotees to be associating with karmis in the middle of the material world, all alone, standing on streets, and all in the midst of all of these temptations. Strictly speaking, by Vedic standards, just if you look at a materialist, you should jump in the Ganges. You should be living with snorkels underwater. You never get out of it. But it's at the same time, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. It's the order of the Parampara. It's particularly Srila Prabhupada's order, and that's what he did. He just took these young men and ladies and he said, go out there. And very often they didn't even know what it was they were taking out there. But they were just inspired because Srila Prabhupada asked them. And then there's this extraordinary protection that comes from Krishna. Krishna protects the devotees so that as long as they're in this mood of trying to, the samadharshi, trying to give Krishna consciousness to others, they're protected. Not only they're protected, but more or less, as Srila Prabhupada gave the example, that they're actually on the platform of liberation. Vihariyasya, Pariyadasya, Karmanam, Manasa, Pacha, Jivamukta, Saruchati. So certainly, it's no surprise if we take a mirror to our hearts that we're not particularly liberated. But by doing this work of liberated souls, by taking shelter of the order of the liberated souls, by engaging our minds and senses in this equal vision of giving Krishna consciousness to others, as long as one is doing that, he's on a liberated platform. Otherwise, it's not possible. There was this, the Acharya of the Madhava Sampradaya, Page Vaishnavi, that's his name, isn't it? So he once he came to Mayapur, he was there in Mayapur for a couple of days. Anyway, he's a real admirer of Srila Prabhupada, and I think Srila Prabhupada wrote about him. There are no Brahmanas in Kali Yuga, but if there are any, you're one. And he was talking about devotees. He heard and he knew the devotees go out and distribute books. And he said, this is not possible for an ordinary conditioned soul to do, that you just go out alone and you just associate with materialistic people all day long and you don't fall down. He said, you can't do this. He was here. Wasn't he here? Or that was someone else who was here? So he said, it's not possible. He says, if I was to do this, if I did this once, I would fall down. He says, this is only possible if you have special protection and mercy from the Lord. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So it's this special blessings and special mercy that we receive from Krishna, from our Guru Parampara, in doing this type of preaching is such a wonderful thing that it's a great thing to keep doing it and to always do. And therefore Srila Prabhupada emphasized it from the beginning of the end till the end. Whether someone was young or old or male or female or child, he just encouraged everyone. Somehow or another, Amara Akha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, preach, give Krishna consciousness to others. Most potent way of doing it, easiest way of doing it, give them a book. And that will keep us in a liberated position while thinking like that, while living like that. And I don't mean just the book distributors, but the preachers and the pujaris and the podvashers and the temple managers. When we're all part of this mission of preaching, of giving Krishna consciousness to others, and we're thinking, that's why I'm existing for here. That is why this temple here is. That's why I'm doing, that's what my service is for, to actually further this preaching mission. Then maintaining that vision, samadharshina, that keeps devotees on such an elevated platform that if they stay on that platform, and of course it requires nice chanting and hearing to stay on that platform, then they become liberated. They become factually liberated, and then beyond that, obviously, they also become lovers of Krishna. And it all starts by the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has so wonderfully and systematically given in his Bhagavad-gita. Anyway, it's a little over time. I'll stop because we don't have breakfast, and then we have our program later on. And I guess more can be said about these subjects, particularly by the devotees who are now distributing the books. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gopremanandini.